Welcome to the Body Meets Mind podcast, philosophies and strategies for an elevated life. I'm Tom.
And I'm Paulie. We interview world authorities and experts in health and wellness optimization, psychology and spirituality.
And we don't mind chewing the fat either, just the two of us.
If you feel like being part of a casual yarn about self-awareness and growth, pull up a chair because the coffee's still hot.
We'll see you on the inside. G'day guys, welcome back to the Body Meets Mind podcast, philosophies and strategies for an elevated life. As usual, I'm with my lovely friend and co-host, Mr. Paul Galiza. Paulie, how are you, sir?
I'm very, very well, Tom. Very excited for the topic that is on the agenda today.
Well, mate, this is one of the things I think, this is one of the topics where you and I kind of connected with very early on in our friendship. It just seemed like we had a common interest in spirituality. I actually remember where we were standing in the gym where you were talking to me about your 5-year long journey to, you know, help recover from your tick and kind of all the different healing modalities you went through, to work with that. But even before that, we started talking about mental health, and it just inevitably went down the road of spirituality. But for everyone listening and watching, for context, today's show is going to be all about how our experiences being raised in a religion and then moving to more kind of secular spirituality. I don't want to talk on your behalf, Paulie, but is that how you would define kind of where you're at with your faith and your spirituality? And
yeah, definitely. I think all will be uncovered when we kind of delve a little bit deeper into our own experiences. But yeah.
Yeah. Cool. So that's kind of where we're at now. And we thought we'd just talk about it. We've come from two different faiths. We've both been very interested in religion and faiths and all different sorts of religions as well. Paulie having traveled, myself having read, some of the books, and we'll kind of see where it takes us. But I think, you know, just to kind of kick things off here, one of the really interesting stats that have come from the contemporary world is that religion is on a pretty, you know, severe downward spiral in terms of people being religious and identifying themselves with a religion. But spirituality is on the up. So as we remove ourselves from, you know, this kind of theologian-esque idea, this supernatural idea of God or whatever it is, it's almost become a kind of more personal relationship with God or the universe or something greater than oneself, however people define it. Do you have any insights before we get into our personal stories on why that might be, Paulie, and what you see in the spirituality landscape?
I personally believe that because of the uncovering and the openness of information that is out there nowadays, and the ability for people to be able to access that information, there's been a significant shift in the way the world communicates, in the way the world actually receives information, including individuals. I believe once upon a time, and this is not dissing religion or institutions behind religion, but correct me if I'm wrong, but like I feel there was a lot of fear based around religion, and that was where people kind of hung their hat. That's where faith kind of, you know, and protection played a big part in people's lives. Mm. And it was quite easy to be able to deliver that type of information with a lack of, news sources or information sources there. But now people are able to delve pretty deeply into their own their own perspective of what spirituality looks like to them. And I think it's such a powerful thing, and faith in itself, you know, like I find faith to be such an incredibly powerful thing, and faith in religion. You see so many successful people who are heavily, heavily religious because of that unwavering faith, this belief that there is something greater than them that has their back, which is a really, really powerful thing. And it's almost irrelevant whether it's right or wrong, you know?
Yes. Yeah, exactly right. This is one of the things that, I think is really wonderful and also terrifying about spirituality is because there is no set truth, you know, and no particular right or wrong, objective right or wrong. Yeah, that's kind of existentially destabilizing for people because they're kind of like, well, if it's not right or wrong, then should I pursue it? Like, I feel like certainty gives people a sense of stability. You know, 2 + 2 = 4. Oh, okay, good. You know, people, that logic can be really comfortable in that way. But spirituality, it's this kind of, you know, perennial, intangible force that we really don't really understand. And it's about a connection with self and a connection to something greater than oneself. And that dynamic is wonderful because it is dynamic. But it can be a bit uncomfortable, you know, and practically speaking, it's how to find your place in the world. You know, that can take time.
It certainly can. And, you know, you said spirituality is very much on the rise. But so is science and the hard belief that people have in science over religion, so to speak, as well. And we've been really, really drawn over the years to if modern science can prove it, then I'll believe it.
Yeah.
And it's I've always found that to be a little bit bizarre because we are constantly disproving previous scientific, you know, understandings and revelations. So why, if we would apply that logic, why would our current understanding of what science is hold weight 100 years from now?
Exactly right. Exactly. And that's where, I mean, faith is, you know, this idea of believing without seeing, you know, but we kind of have faith all the time. You know, I have faith when I drive a car, you know, like I don't know for certain that I'm not going to die in a car crash, but I have faith that I'll get there, you know, to point B. I can rely on history of driving and so forth, but you know, there are so many things that we don't understand. Science is very wonderful because it can measure things and it can prove things to the best of its ability, and remove the bias, you know, with double blind controlled studies and so forth. But you're exactly right. You know, it's constantly disproving itself. So to say simply that, you know, well, if it's not scientific, then it's not real. It's like that might be true, but there's that old expression. Now I'm probably going to butcher this. Something is not something. Science, like, oh, lack of evidence is not evidence of lack, or whatever it is. Do you know that one?
It sounds very familiar.
Yes.
I mean, we can look it up. If we had someone full time like Joe Rogan does, I'd be like, hey, buddy, can you just look this up?
Hey, Johnny, can you? That's right. But
actually, we have Joe Rogan as our personal assistant full time.
We do. We paid him $2 billion, and for one episode.
A wise investment.
It was wise, and sadly, he declined. But he took the money. So, oh dear. Well, why don't we start about kick things off a bit with your journey? So, you came from the Jewish tradition.
Yes, yeah, I'm born and bred a Jewish boy from the heart of Caulfield, the ghetto, as they call it, in the Melbourne part of the world. Yes. And I went to a Jewish day school my entire life. I went from one Jewish day school to another. And it was a really lovely educational experience. There was a sense of kind of unity and community, and that's what really drew me to the I suppose the Jewish religion more so than the spiritual side of things. I've definitely opened up and I've seen a lot more of, you know, what Judaism has to offer in terms of spirituality. But my journey kind of naturally evolved as I became an adult. I mean, one other thing, and this is kind of a separate discussion to religion and spirituality, but it was quite a sheltered upbringing as well, because you were basically existing with you were surrounded by Jews,
Yeah.
and that's pretty much it in your upbringing. But this is a completely separate discussion topic. But stepping out into the real world, I started to become a little bit more curious about other religions. I've really, really delved deeply into Buddhism and Hinduism and other, Eastern religions, which I've become a little bit more, interested in over the years. And I like to think any exploration that an individual does go down, we have the freedom and the ability, which we did not necessarily have even 200 years ago, to be able to say, right, like, I'm just going to kind of live my own life according to the learnings and what resonates with me. You'd be burnt at the stake for doing that,
yes.
You know, like,
yes.
A short while ago. So yeah. that's my own experience, and it's kind of brought me to where I am today. And and I really, part of my current religion is science as well, because
yeah,
I respect science. Even though I said what I said previously, I still respect it. It gives me something tangible to be able to kind of continue along with. But let's hear about your own experience, Tommy.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, raised a Catholic, relatively casually. I mean, I probably kind of 0 to 10, we were at church every Sunday. And then after that, my sister and I, began to really plead with mum and dad that, we really weren't, not for any particular reason. We just kind of found it boring, if I'm being totally honest with you. And then it became more of a casual thing, and you might just go at Christmas time or whatever. But I was baptized and confirmed and so forth. But one of the reasons I really broke out of Catholicism is because I developed, OCD. That's something that I manage, but I developed a specific aspect of OCD in which I was terrified about this Christian notion of burning eternally in hell if I was a bad person, the Catholic guilt, as they say. I began to pick up rubbish, as we've spoken about on a previous episode. And it became so constricting that when I started to seek therapy, one of my psychologists spoke to me about meditation. So I gave it a go. I wasn't very good at it. But one of the apps that I was using was a Buddhist style of it was a Buddhist app. It was grounded in Buddhism. And then I became really interested in this idea that Buddhism wasn't necessarily a religion, but just a practice, And what I love so much about Buddhism is that it's based off this dude's own experience. Here's the Buddha, his real name was Siddhartha Gautama. He had a very sheltered upbringing, very, very rich, and there was no adventure, had all the women that he wanted, all the riches. When he was 16, he was like, this is weird, so he starts to go out of the castle and he sees terrible things. He sees a dying man and a sick man and he runs back into the castle, but he's still so intrigued. He goes out even further. He spends 6 years as an ascetic, self-mutilation to find God. And then he realizes that too much pleasure and too much self-mortification aren't the right way. So he sits under a tree and meditates for 40 days, and then he becomes enlightened. And he comes back to the world. He contemplates it for a lot, comes back to the world, and he says, look, this is what's going on, team. These are the four truths that I've come to figure out. He goes, the reason that we're all in pain is because we suffer. The root of the suffering is attachment. Less attachment equals less suffering. Let me show you the way. And the way is the eightfold path, the middle way. And I just loved that. It was just so practical. I'm like, this guy went out and figured it out for himself. He wasn't standing in a robe at the top of an altar saying, if you do this, then this will happen. He was like, I'm going to find out what that truth is for me. And I loved that. And then that got me very interested, likewise with you, into some of the more personal forms of spirituality. Hinduism is absolutely ripe with it. The Bhagavad Gita is one of the most important books I ever read. But branching out from this idea of what I'm being told might not necessarily be what works for me, and I'm going to grab a bit of this, I'm going to grab a bit of that, and then I'm going to mesh it all together and make this awful pavlova, but at least it'll be my pavlova.
And that's beautifully said. And I feel like we have the freedom to be able to do that now. We have the freedom to be able to seek, and we have the freedom to be able to enter this world without dogma. We can explore, we can search, and we can really just kind of create our own Frankenstein's monster in the most beautiful way possible, you know? Become what it is that resonates with you. And that's the beauty of what can kind of create change within an individual's life. And I actually had the pleasure of meditating under the current generation of the Bodhi tree that a hell of an experience. There were like hundreds of monks around, and they are separated into different sections. You have Sri Lankan Buddhist monks in their section, you have Indian Buddhist monks, you have Chinese, and they're all broken up into different sections, and their dress and their garb are slightly different colors as well, different shades of orange. It was very cool, very cool.
Well, just going back to your upbringing with Judaism, did you find, one of the things I've really grown to love about the Jewish culture, I worked at it wasn't a Jewish gym, but it was right in the heart of Caulfield, and virtually everyone was Jewish there. So I was very interested, and I learned a lot about, some about Judaism. What I really loved about, there's a real sense of togetherness, and it's striking because Judaism is one of the smallest religions population-wise, something like 14.3 million Jews or something in the whole world. I'm sure there's more than a billion Muslims. There's definitely more than 500 million Christians, so it's a small religion by comparison. But do you feel, and if you could speak on your upbringing to this, that the community aspect of Judaism is some way related to the suffering that's been caused, not just in the Holocaust, but time and time again, the Jewish people have had to suffer. Does that some way relate to it, do you think?
I think it definitely does. I mean, there's a significant element of survival that was stamped into my parents, who were the children of Holocaust survivors. But I think it goes further back than that, because the oppression that has existed amongst many religions, but in particular, like, just talking about the Jewish religion for this point, it has been quite it's been quite generational, and I think that form of community has come as a sense of requirement. Even more so than choice. And now when you step into my generation, obviously we're not, we're not looking at, being forced to do change religion or to be exterminated, this, that, and the other. But the sense of community is something that a lot of us are incredibly proud of, and you feel like you have brothers amongst many families that coexist in your area. And like anything, the very same thing that I love about that is the very same thing that repels me about it at times. Because there's sometimes you just want to kind of be anonymous and kind of just chill out, but it can be quite an intensive experience as well. And I know I've got many friends that have fled the southern suburbs and gone as far north as they possibly can, even so far north that they go to Byron Bay, Mullumbimby, and the Gold Coast. It's been an incredible experience, but also like being part of the family upbringing as well, cousins, parents, grandparents. It's very much a family oriented way of life.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but there's one thing to be kind of religiously Jewish and another to be kind of culturally Jewish as well. Could you elaborate on that?
Well, there's, I have a lot of I know a lot of religious Jews, and there are different sects of religion, different sects of Judaism. There's, various different types, and they can, they can be incredibly religious.
Yes.
And they can span all the way to being secular. And I would say that I recognize myself in more the secular kind of, I identify culturally as a Jew, but I probably don't express myself, religiously that much as a Jew. But I love Shabbat dinner every Friday night. It would be a very, very scarcely that I would miss that. And it's not because of the religious component. It's because it's a set time where I get to be around my family, and I get to be able to say, right, this is a moment for us all to just enjoy each other's company, break some bread, and have a good time.
Well, one of the things that I know you and I are both very interested in is, our personal spirituality being a dynamic force that changes, and grows. And it'll be interesting to see kind of, what our spirituality looks like in 5-10 years with a few more books having been read, podcasts having been recorded, and experiences that have shaped our lives. So, Paulie, mate, always a pleasure. Any last words?
No last words. No, that was a good one. It was fun to be able to explore that side of things. And, we're actually looking at, we haven't confirmed anyone, but we were speaking just before this. We're looking at getting, various, different representation of different religions on the show, and maybe giving them a little bit of a questionnaire on, what spirituality and religion means to them and how they find their path in their own religion and spirituality, which I think would be really cool to be able to explore.
Definitely. Well, guys, as always, we love the fact that you're tuning in, and as Paulie's spoken to a lot in the past, we want this to be a two-way thing, a community. So reach out to us, let us know, what your feedback is, what you like, what you didn't like. If you have any guests that you think would be good for the show, let us know. We're excited to be molding this with you as well. So, it's such a wonderful journey and a privilege, and, we're pumped that you're listening. But, until next time, bye for now.
Thanks, Tommy. Thanks, guys.